guest of the week.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's a Friday, and of course, we are having the privilege to stand here with our guest of the week. It's a man that needs no further introduction, not just in Cameroon, but maybe I want to say Africa and the world. Somebody says, and it's true, that he's bigger in a way that I don't think I have the privilege to even lace his shoes. But, well, I'm coming face to face with him today in Yaoundé. Good morning to you, Sir Eric Tjenje.
Thank you very much, and I'm really happy to be with you. I know this is our second encounter, and yes, I was very happy with how you produced the first one, so I'm glad to be here again.
All right. You were born a Cameroonian, raised a Cameroonian, and everywhere I've seen you talk about your love for country. Yeah. Let's talk about where you were born and raised, if this is what made you love this country, like we see on every platform that you take.
I was born in Bemenda, grew up both in Bemenda and Limbe, Victoria at the time, and then Yaoundé, and I've traveled extensively across the country, from Kuseri, Yagua, Maroa, to Kambe, Wum, Kumba, you know, traveled extensively across the country. And in my travels, both in and out of the country, I saw the amazing quality of what Cameroonians are doing outside of this country, what they've become in some of the best international organizations, some of the best schools of learning around the world. You'd find Cameroonians outperforming most other people. So it forces you to ask yourself, but does God have a plan for this country? There's got to be something about this country that we've not discovered or we've not allowed ourselves to understand. Cameroon is unique in so many ways. The wealth of this country, if you look at it on a, you know, proportional basis, there's hardly any other African country, maybe besides the Congo and to some extent, I would say Nigeria, that has, you know, the natural resources that could deliver to its population in the same manner.
All right. Let's come back to talk briefly about maybe career. I know you work with the Cameroon Radio Television, this CRTV, and of course you had a career that everyone will envy, but it's like you left.
Well, life is about learning and moving, and what are we learning? We're learning to understand reality. You, me, everybody else. We wake up in the morning, we see the sun, it drives us to move to maybe a workplace, maybe a place where we engage with family, and so on. That's what life is. It's conquering new frontiers on a daily basis. That's why we're given a new day every day. So for me, standing still has never been an option. I've gotten to that place in my life where I need to be contributing to others. I mean, I've been to good schools, good institutions. I studied at Harvard and Syracuse, New York, University of Yaoundé. I worked for the World Bank. I worked for the African Development Bank. I worked for the Moy Ibrahim Foundation, the African Media Initiative. All of these are experiences that have opened my eyes to a certain reality of our world that I want now to share with every Cameroonian if I could, because I want to help us change the Cameroonian reality, to move it forward, to keep pushing on the frontiers of our development. And that's my work. So I no longer limit myself. I started off as a journalist. I became a communication specialist, and then I went into finance, and I went into understanding these various sectors of life so that I could be more valuable to my country and to my people.
All right.
And that's where we are.
Beautiful. Well, Sir Eric Tjenje, if I don't ask you this question, then many young journalists like myself who are listening right now to this interview will kid me on the streets of Yaoundé. Now tell me, what was your experience with CRTV then?
Let me say a few things. One, CRTV was the only television in Cameroon when we started, and until I left, was the only one. So there's something that has to be said about being the only one, because everybody's watching. And we're not challenged, as CRTV is today, by a multiplicity of not only new technologies that allow people to source information from everywhere. We're not challenged by that. So we did what we did. But the good thing about CRTV, which I can say, is that almost 90% of the people who came to CRTV were professionals. They were trained, they were professional in their work, and they gave the best of themselves. That is the difference between CRTV then and the world of television and media in general in Cameroon today. They didn't come for the show. They didn't come for gombo. They came to practice.
Was it Gombo at the time?
You know, I'm using that term in spite of myself.
All right.
The day I was leaving TV, when I announced my departure, I told my colleagues, I said, you all know, and if they're following your program, they can tell you, those who are still around, you all know that I've been head of this institution for 6 years. And nobody, no Cameroonian anywhere, can say he gave Eric Chinja a franc. None. There was a time when banks were collapsing, and every bank manager wanted to give us money to talk about not one. I didn't accept from any one of them. So I left here clean, because I was a professional. Gombo was never a part of my calculation. So it should never be for the true professional. Do your work. I got noticed by the World Bank that invited me. I didn't apply to work for the World Bank. They invited me. Why do you think they invited me? Because I had taken Gombo somewhere? They invited me because of the quality of my work. CNN asked me to report for them because they saw the quality of the reports I was doing.
All right.
Other people reported for CNN after me, or for the BBC, or for Deutsche Welle. When you're a professional and you do good work, it gets noticed.
All right. You are down in history as one of the few Cameroonian journalists who have interviewed the head of state, His Excellency President Paul Biya. Take me back to that interview. How was the arrangement done? How did you meet the president?
I interviewed the president maybe 4 times, and each time it was in response to a crisis. There was a time President Biya went out of the country and overstayed his visit. And there were complaints in the country. People were complaining. There was a lot of tension. And when he came back, he said, I'm going to give an interview. And he said, I want to talk to that young man I see on television called Eric Chinja.
The president's request?
It was at the president's request. But when I met with him, I said, on condition that you don't force me to give you my questions ahead of time. And President Biya, every time I met him, he played the game. He said, I don't need your questions.
Did you get that response when you meet the president face-to-face?
I'm telling you about my first time with the president.
I told him.
I said, no, Mr. President, I can't give you my questions ahead of time. It's not professional for me to do that. I said, you know, we want to talk about the state of the country. I think that's what you want us to talk about. He said, yes. I said, okay, let me, from my experience. And before I went, I'd asked a number of journalists, you know, are there some issues we should raise to the head of state? And everybody, Barbara Nkono will tell you, she was one of those I counted on, Belly B. Alain, Julius Wami, there were people who, you know, said, look, you must ask him this, you must ask him. So when I met with him, I knew that if I didn't ask the real questions, this would be a wishy-washy interview. So I told him, I said, Mr. President, I know we want to talk about the state of the country, but I cannot give you my questions ahead of time. And he said, no, I don't need them, you know. Ask the questions that concern citizens.
Were you speaking English or French with him?
We spoke in French. And at the end of it, I said, Mr. President, the next time I do an interview with you, it's even recorded. Everything I'm telling you is recorded. I told him, I said, the next time I do an interview with you, it would have to be in English.
Okay.
And he said, absolutely, I'd love to do that. He never did.
You're tuning in. This is the national station of the CRTV. And of course, you're on with our guest of the week, Mr. Eric Chinja, who is actually in the country. We spotted you during the ICT seminar to train young Cameroonians who are taking interest into IT. And of course, you inspire them like you inspire always. We're going to talk briefly about that. But before we get there, tell me a bit about when you left Cameroon. It was rumored like wildfire. Some say it was white smoke, but there's no smoke without fire.
Yeah.
But some should not confuse the smoke for purple smoke. Were you ever proposed an appointment and you turned down by the government of this country?
Well, they have. I mean, I didn't leave Cameroon because I didn't have a job. I had a job at CRTV at the time, and even during the time I've been away, you know, I've been called and offered positions. The Prime Minister, Mr. Jim Gute, will confirm this. Mr. Famin Dongo will tell you when the President has asked him to talk to me. So, yes.
Then why did you turn down?
No, I didn't. You know, it wasn't a matter of turning down offers. Mm. It was more a matter of understanding whether I would add value. And when I didn't see that I would add value by doing what they wanted me to do, I decided it was better for me to be where I am.
Some would say you've had a very successful career, both at home and abroad. And like so many other Cameroonians who've choose to make abroad where they want to live and even die, maybe just come here to be buried.
Mm.
Why is Eric Chinja always in Cameroon? Why is Eric Chinja passionate about making sure that Cameroonians become better? Why is Eric Chinja always in Cameroon to inspire?
You know, for a very simple reason. I ask myself all the time, if God did not think I should be a Cameroonian, he wouldn't have had me delivered here. It's as simple as that. I was born here. I am a Cameroonian, and I'm proud to be, and I'm grateful to God for that. And I would never want to be anybody else but a Cameroonian. And you can see why it hurts me when our country doesn't do the right thing in so many ways. look at our roads. We could have better roads. There's nobody in government, and I challenge all of them, tell me that we don't have the resources to build roads in Cameroon, and that Rwanda has those resources, and that Benin has those resources, and that Nigeria even has those resources that we don't have. No, it doesn't make sense. We do have the resources. We're just not managing them well. We should have better roads. Go from there and take a look at our health infrastructure.
But some say we have some of the best hospitals within the SAMAC, countries that share the same age like us. I mean, most Chadians come here for hospital, most from Central Africa that are treated in Cameroon.
When I hear that, it makes me want to weep. First of all, we should not be comparing ourselves to Chad or to Central Africa or anybody in Central Africa or even to most of Africa. When I was on television, I used to tell people, don't tell me we're the best in Africa. I don't want to hear it that we're the best in Africa. We are the best, period. That's what we should be. I never wanted to hear that. So yes, we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to anybody. I said earlier that God gave to Cameroon what he didn't give to 90% of the countries on the continent.
Right.
What have we done with it? What have we done with the intellectual resources, human capacity that we have? We have more hydraulic potential than any other country in Africa except Congo Democratic Republic. So we've got all of this, and you know, today wealth is not measured even in terms of those natural resources. Wealth is measured in terms of intellectual capacity. The five most valued companies in the world today that control most of the wealth of the universe, it's not those that sell oil and sell gold and diamonds. It's those that use knowledge, use data. The most valued company in the world today is Microsoft. The second most valued company in the world today is Nvidia. The third most valued company in the world today is Google. So you can go on and on. It's all knowledge. Amazon, you name it. And that's why I prize the intellectual capacity of Cameroonians everywhere in the world. Those Cameroonians in the diaspora were not born somewhere else. They were born here. Their initial training was not anywhere else. It was here. Peter Tayong and I went to Harvard. But that was after we had been trained here. So we've got what it takes. We just need to organize ourselves. We need to develop the right laws. We need to stop copying from France. No, we should look at our reality in Cameroon and say, what do we need to do? How do we get the good roads? How do we get the good hospitals? And stop comparing my hospital to a hospital in Chad. My sister died here out of the poor quality of care she was getting, and it hurt me. We had to move out to India after everything had been destroyed here. So no. Our health systems in Cameroon need to be completely revamped, rethought, our policies and so on. And it's not just health, road infrastructure, it's our agriculture. Look, I saw a lady who's produced dried coconut and dried pineapples and put them in a nice package. I have it. I'm taking it with me to the States. And when I asked, where is she sold? She said, oh, you know, her production is very limited. And yet what this lady is producing can bring more money into this country than what we're getting from the World Bank and IMF and all of them. But why is the country not supporting it? Why are we not identifying those kinds of initiatives, startups, business ventures, and so on, and supporting them? Why are we not doing that? It's all part of the overall policy of development that Cameroon has opted for, and I'm saying that policy of development is a failed policy.
All right.
It needs to change.
Thank you so much. We're getting done with this interview in just a moment, but let's talk about the seminar, the ICT seminar for young Cameroonians. You've talked to a lot of them, looking at them eyeball to eyeball. What do Cameroon need to become the best in your words that I borrowed today?
Yeah, it should be. You know, the new world that we're emerging into is an AI-powered world, artificial intelligence. Whether we know it or not, that's what is happening. We're using artificial intelligence to transform the current universal reality. You know, we're using AI, artificial intelligence, to find drugs that were unimaginable a few years ago. So we're using that to improve on the quality of our agriculture. So I was telling the young people, if you've not buried yourself into understanding what artificial intelligence is all about, then you've got a problem.
Thank you so much, Richard Njie. We're taking leave of you, but I want you to look at the CLTV microphone in a moment. And give me five reasons we should clap for the government of Cameroon.
You know, I'm sorry, you probably would get absolute silence from me because a lot that needs to be done has not been done. Let us not pat ourselves on the back when we don't need to. And I mean it. I do not want to bring down Cameroon. I want to lift up Cameroon. So one good thing about Cameroon is it has great intellect. One good thing about Cameroon is it has fantastic natural resources. One good thing about Cameroon is we have the highest hydraulic potential outside of the Congo Democratic Republic in Africa. One thing about Cameroon is we have most of the arable land. We could be the breadbasket of not only Central Africa, but of Africa. So we have huge agricultural potential. You know, it's a lot of things together. It's the corruption, it's the absence of engagement on the part of most citizens, and it's the unwillingness to put in the hard work. People want an easier life and to make quick bucks, quick money. But I want to encourage people to transform our society in ways that make life in this country better. We want to see an energized youth with great ideas, fighting every day and never taking no for an answer.
Thank you so very much. But let's end with the tradition. What's your favorite sport?
I'm afraid to say it's tennis, actually.
Table tennis?
No, lawn tennis.
All right.
Not football.
All right. Your favorite dish?
Eru and maybe ndole.
All right. What part of Cameroon is the best you want to live in?
If I had to make just one choice, it would be Boya. If I had to make two, the other would be below Kuseripo, you get to Marwa.
Your philosophy in life is not a secret?
Simple, humble, empathetic. Whether it's buy and sell them by the street side or some multi-millionaire, see the humanity in them and nothing else. The rest is just vanity.
Your most admired Cameroonian?
Wow, nobody ever asked me that question. But my most admired Cameroonian may be in many ways, and he's late, Manu Dibango.
Thank you so much, Richinje, for granting us this exclusive interview on CLTV Radio today.
My pleasure.